You have your Bibles and want to follow along. First Samuel chapter 30. I believe I have spoke on this subject to some degree here. And so those of you have heard some of it, then you'll hear it again. And those that haven't, it will be new, but I tried to print my sermon off this afternoon, and my computer and printer were not wanting to cooperate with each other, and so I just, in the end, just had to take snapshots of my computer screen. So I have my sermon on my phone here, but in real small print. And I know it's hard to believe somebody as young as I have trouble seeing it, but I do. Thanks, Brother Danny. It is good to be here. It's good to see my family, especially good to see my sister and her husband here. I think it's their first time here, but it's an encouragement to me. You know, I realize how good the Lord's been to me in a lot of facets, but one thing He has done is give me a great family and put a lot of people around me that love me and encourage me. And there's a lot of people that don't have just a handful of people that care about them, but just the support of coming when they find out you're preaching is just a great encouragement to me, and I'm grateful that they are here. All right, I want to preach a message tonight entitled, When All Else Fails. When All Else Fails. I know that a lot of you in our congregation are going through different struggles. And if you aren't right now, then you will shortly thereafter or have been through them. But what do we do when all else fails? As Christians, we are encouraged to turn to the Lord, to strengthen ourselves in the Lord our God, to encourage ourselves in the Lord. So what do you do when everything seems to crumble around you, when life just seems to be coming at you from different directions, and before you can resolve one issue or one problem, it seems like something else has came? What do we do in times like that? And with the Lord's help, maybe we can see a little bit of encouragement of something, a few things that we can do to help us as we learn from the life of David. And we see in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and had smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." The latter part of verse 6 is where we kind of take our message from. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. They had returned from battle there, and here they are coming home, and they get to Ziklag, and they find that their city is burned and their families have been taken captive, and these men around David are brokenhearted, they're disgruntled, and they're even talking about stoning David, killing him. And you got to remember who David is with at this time. He's not with church people. He's not with the best of crowds. Look just back a few chapters in chapter 22. Verse number 1 says, "David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone," notice, here's the crowd that David's with that we just read about in 1 Samuel 30, the people that's speaking of stoning him. "And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and that everyone was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men." So he's got 400 men with him, but he doesn't have the best of men. He's got those that are in debt, those that are disgruntled, those that are discontented, those that are upset. And now things, they come back and their family's been taken captive. They've lost everything. And you're not dealing with the best of character people. What do you do when things like this come into your life? The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So tonight, you know, I want us to look at just four simple steps and things that probably most of you already practice, maybe just not alliterized as we've got them in our sermon tonight, that we can do when life seems to come cave in on us, that we can do that help us encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. The first thing I would say is to encourage yourself through solitude. What is solitude? It's a state of isolation or seclusion, the lack of contact with people. You know, we don't necessarily like to withdraw ourselves, and you can go too far with it when withdrawing yourself from people. When difficult times come, we need one another. But when difficult times come, we also need to take some time to get away and get alone with the Lord. And that's difficult in our day and time, you know? So encourage. David was a man that was well acquainted with this. You read through the Psalms, you'll see David isolated. He was alone many times with just him and the Lord, or him and some sheep and the Lord. But silence and solitude are hard to find in our day and time. We live in a world that is extremely noisy and busy. Silence and solitude don't seem to find their place in our world. Silence and isolation seem to fit better in the days of kerosene lamps and horse and buggies, rather than the days that we live in with TVs, video games, cars, joggers with earphones, elevators with music, and restaurants with music. Think about it. We can't go anywhere, really. It's very difficult in our day and time just to go anywhere where it's quiet. You know why that is? One reason? One reason that is, the devil understands the power in solitude. Really, he does. And if he can keep us busy, keep our minds cluttered with other things, with noise and activity, he can keep us from focusing on the Lord, talking to the Lord, and the Lord talking to us. And it's necessary in difficult times when life seems to be caving in on you to take some time to get away and get alone with the Lord. The devil realizes the power in solitude. Like I said, you can't even get on an elevator in our culture without music playing. You see people that can't, some do, but most people that go to the gym or exercise. And there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying it's wrong to listen to music or whatever. You'll see that later on in the sermon. But when things seem to cave in, when all else fails, a place of solitude will do all of us some good. If you go through the Bible, you'll find illustrations of people that God, that the Lord was going to use, that before He did, He put them in a place of solitude. Remember Moses? Spent 40 years on the backside of the desert before leading the Exodus. Remember Elijah, the man that called fire down from heaven? But where did he find himself? Just him and the Lord under a juniper tree, begging that the Lord would take his life. You remember Elijah there? He was put in a cave on Mount Horeb so that he could hear that still, small voice of God. We all remember that scripture reference there, with the still, small voice of the Lord. But when we live in a life of so busy and with noise all around us, the only way sometimes that we're going to hear that still, small voice of the Lord is to separate ourselves from it, have a time of solitude, and isolate ourselves with just us and the Lord. David was well acquainted with that. He says he encouraged himself in the Lord. Remember Jesus? Oftentimes withdrew himself either to the seashore or to the mountains, didn't he? To spend time with the Lord, with God. And I would say if it's necessary for the perfect man, God in the flesh, to withdraw himself for some time of solitude, that it would be necessary for all of us to do so. So when life seems to be caving in on you, take some time. Make it a habit to have a place to go or some time to spend with the Lord, just one-on-one. There is ministry in solitude. And if we do not, we will find it hard to encourage ourselves if we do not take time alone. We need to be quiet so we can talk to God and God can talk to us. David knew the solitude all too well. His Psalms show us that he understood the importance of it. Whether it was in a cave or on the mountainside, David spent time alone with his Lord. You know, and if our time is too valuable that we cannot find some time to have quiet time and alone time, then we will soon find that we are of no value to anyone. I remember reading the story of Susan Wesley. Jordas is doing a book report right now on her. Susan Wesley had 19 children, but 9 of those children lived. You can imagine the chaos. How do you get a quiet moment with 9 kids? It's very difficult. But I remember reading the story of her, and it said that if she had the kids where they were taken care of and none of them were in harm's way, that sometimes she would take her apron, she would sit down on the kitchen floor and grab her Bible, or if she didn't have her Bible, she would just sit down, put her apron over her head, and she had taught the children, unless it's an emergency, you do not bother me when you see this apron over my head, because she was spending some time with the Lord. If she can find time to do that with 9 kids or 10 kids, whatever she had at the time, then what is our excuse? Solitude. Encourage yourself in the Lord through moments of solitude. But, you know, and before I go on, Miss Lydia experienced camp. I know many of you have done that. That's one thing I appreciate about church camp. You get down there, there's no cell phone signal. There's no social media. You don't have the everyday hustle and bustle. It's just a time with God's people, with His Word, with other people. It's time to kind of get away and withdraw yourself. And there's great ministry in that. David knew that. You know, none of us like being alone. I can tell you, I'm a people person. I hate it. I have to force myself sometimes. And if I don't, you know what? The Lord does. But it's important. It's necessary for us to have a time of solitude with the Lord. But secondly, David encouraged himself in the Scriptures. When all else fails, not only through solitude, but through the Scriptures. David knew the Old Testament well and often turned to it for help. It was David who wrote many of the Psalms that we read. You read some of the Psalms and you'll see the encouragement that David received from the Scripture. Look at Psalms 19. Psalms chapter 19. Verse number 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, they than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Talking about the Word of God, the judgments of God, the precepts of God, the law of God, the Scriptures are of more value than gold, than silver, than any amount of money or whatever. And you know what? There's people that have a lot of money that are some of the most miserable people, and they still have problems and difficulties, and guess what? That money won't help them in certain circumstances. But guess what? The Lord is there and the Scripture will. So David encouraged himself in the Scripture. Psalms 119, it's all about the Word of God. But verse number 92, notice what David says here. Psalms 119, verse 92. Useless thy law had been. Let's back up just a little bit. Verse 89. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to Thine ordinances. For all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. He said, unless the law had been my delight, my joy, I would have perished. See, David found comfort in the most difficult of times in the Scriptures. He said, there's times I would have just gave up. I would have quit if the law, the Scriptures, hadn't have given me hope. You know what? Sometimes we turn everywhere but to the Lord and to the Scriptures. And we wonder why we're discouraged, disappointed. We got our focus on the wrong things. We got our focus on our problems. And I say we. Yeah, I've been guilty of it. We get our focus on our circumstances, on our problems, not on the Lord. If we take time to get in the Scriptures, you know what? The circumstances may not change, but our perception of those things may. The Scriptures can encourage us. We understand that God is there. He's not left us hopeless or without hope. So, encourage yourselves through some solitude. Encourage yourselves through Scripture. Just get in your Bible and find, you know, verses that encourage you. They may be different ones that encourage you than what encouraged me. But thirdly, David encouraged himself through seeking God in prayer. When all else fails, the world seems to be caving in on you, encourage yourself in solitude, in Scriptures, and in seeking God in prayer. Read through the Psalms. You'll see David calling out to the Lord a lot. And then fourthly, this is something I use often here, but encourage yourself in song. I enjoy listening to hymns. A lot of times when I get discouraged or disappointed, or if I'm stressed or things seem to be, you know, be overwhelming me, I can turn to some good gospel music, and it seems like for a moment that all the problems kind of fade away. There's ministry and music and song. What is the book of Psalms? It was a book of songs. That's what David was a part of penning, many of those. There's power in those songs. That's why we sing them prior to worshiping the Lord, is to prepare our minds for that. I mean, I was just listening, you know, to the music prior to the service this evening, and felt myself just kind of getting excited, encouraged, strengthened. You know, there's great power in that. I don't know, many of you probably already know many of the stories, but I would encourage you, even not just through listening to songs, but look at the background behind some of these songs, where they were written. You'll find great comfort and great encouragement in those things. It is well with my soul, a song that we sing often. But the gentleman that wrote that, you know, the distress that he was going through, he didn't write that in the best of times of life. He wrote that in some of the most difficult times of his life. He was a lawyer there in Chicago, and he was a businessman. And the great Chicago fires came through and destroyed his business, destroyed all that he had. So him and his family decided to take a vacation, to get away. But he had to stay and tie up a few loose ends. And in doing so, he sent his family on over. Well, the ship that his family was on sank. And he got a telegram stating that his children had perished, that only his wife had survived. And he traveled over to see her, to encourage her and be with his wife. And when he got to that point, they said of the sea to where the ship had sunk, where he had lost some of his family members, the Lord laid upon his heart the words that we sing in our churches today. It is well with my soul when peace like a river attendeth my way. I think Sister Lydia or Jana, I don't remember who it was, just prior to service playing Because He Lives, said that Gloria Gaither in the 70s was about to give birth to one of their children. And she looked around her when drugs was really starting to take off, and she was troubled. She said, how am I going to bring a child into this world and drugs and the wickedness all around and everything that's going to take place? And the Lord started to encourage her. Said, there's hope because He lives. You read the lyrics. They're not just words. There's meaning behind it. That's why there's nothing wrong with modern music. There's some good modern hymn writers out there. The Gettys are doing a good job. But a lot of the contemporary music is just very shallow. But you get into some of the older hymns, some of these Gettys, there's some depth to it. There's some substance. You can find yourself getting encouraged listening to those things. I know I won't say too much because it's personal, but I know Jordis was going through a difficult time after her aunt had died of a drug overdose. And I was talking to her one time, and she was telling me that God had helped her through it. And I said, Jordy, how did God help you? She said, well, I was listening to a song, I'm Not Alone. And she said, God really spoke to me and helped me through that song, I'm Not Alone. There's power in song. David was a man that played the harp, was well acquainted with song, and sang songs with, and you know, encouraged himself through that. But it said that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He did that through some time of solitude. He did that through the Scriptures. He did that through seeking God in prayer. And he did that through song. Look with me in Habakkuk, an Old Testament book that we don't turn to often. Habakkuk chapter 3. You know, Habakkuk was given a vision of God was going to judge the nation of Israel through their enemies. And he starts to question the Lord. He realizes there's a great problem there in chapter 1. Chapter 2, he starts to get proper perspective. And in chapter 3, you see him singing songs of praise. But look at Habakkuk chapter 3, verse number 17. This is what Habakkuk says here. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall be fruit in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields of shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places. To the chief singer of on my stringed instruments. God had told Habakkuk some horrific news. He said, hey, you know what? Israel's going to be judged for their sin. And I'm going to use their enemies doing it. It would almost be like God telling us today, and we understand He doesn't speak like that to us, but saying, you know what? Since you guys, as the United States of America, have turned your back on me, I'm going to use the Muslims to judge you. And you know what Habakkuk, you see Habakkuk doing? The circumstances didn't change. God did exactly what He said. But He gains proper perspective, and you see Him starting to sing to the Lord. He says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall there be fruit in the vines, labor, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will find joy in the God of my salvation. So, may we do much like Habakkuk did, like David did, and encourage ourselves in the Lord. Many of you have got great problems right now, and I don't know those problems, but guess what? The Lord does. But I would encourage you, spend some time alone talking to the Lord about those things. Spend some time alone with just you and the Lord. Get in the Scriptures. Seek God in prayer. And seek God in song. And see if you don't find yourself encouraged. The circumstances may not change, but you'll find that your attitude toward the circumstances has changed. Life can often make us feel like it's closing in on us and that there's no hope, as if no one cares. We are surrounded with problems. And there are many ways to deal with these moments in our lives. But remember, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. May we be a people that wouldn't seek help from other places, but we would seek help from the only one that can give us help, and that's in the Lord our God. May we be a people that seek God in solitude, in Scripture, in seeking Him in prayer, and in song. And if you don't know the Lord, you can spend all the quiet time you want. You can search the Scriptures. You can sing the songs. You can say the prayers. but it's sounding brass and tinkling cymbals if you don't know the Lord. So ask yourself tonight, when life seems to be caving in on me, where do I turn to? Do I look for the world's wisdom? Do I search on the internet? There's nothing wrong with those things. God has given us those things, but ultimately, our help comes from the Lord. If you do not seek God in difficult moments and claim to be a Christian, something's wrong. Either you don't know Him, or your priorities are off. So tonight, where do you turn when all else fails? Christian, I encourage you to encourage yourself in the Lord and see if He don't meet you there. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the people and their kind attention this evening. Lord, I pray that You would use Your Word as You see fit, that it would be an encouragement to us, that we would seek You with a whole heart, and Lord, that we would turn to no other when we have circumstances that seem to overwhelm us, but that we would turn to You. Thank You for giving us Your Word. Thank You for the songs that You have given people's hearts and minds to write and the musicians to put music to them. And we just thank You for the encouragement we find in that. We thank You that we do have a place that we can go, someone we can call upon and go to in prayer in these times. Lord, we praise You for how good You are to us. Lord, I thank You for Jesus Christ. I thank You for saving me and those that are here this evening that don't know You. Lord, I pray that You would show them that, that You would send conviction upon their hearts, and that You wouldn't give them rest until they've made things right with You. That You would be glorified and honored in it, that You would get the glory and honor in it. Help us to be a people that would encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. For You are all we have. Lord, thank You for a church that has a heart to serve You and is giving to others. And I pray that You would lead and guide our church, our pastor, his wife. Thank You for them. And I just pray that You'd have Your will and Your way in the remainder of this service this evening. And in Jesus' name I pray. And amen. Pastor?